Nice. So, again, I'm going to call our KIPP Delta Board of Directors meeting Thursday, July 30th to order. And, of course, you know that this is a bi-monthly meeting for our new schedule. I'd like to welcome everybody and thank you for your time today. I just want to remind you of the objectives for today's meeting, and that is to make sure that the KIPP Delta Board considers re-election of our board member, Chuck Mitchell, that we will disclose any potential conflicts of interest and sign those commitment to excellent forms. We will review and consider adoption of a calendar and policies designed to reopen schools safely, effectively, and efficiently. We will consider adoption of the community legibility provision, and we will review the proposed preliminary FY21 budget for approval. What I would like to also agree on as we move forward in the meeting is that if anything comes up that is a big topic, that I will defer to our executive director. And if it's something that we could address quickly and stay on agenda, we will make every attempt to do so. If it's not, then he will circle back around either through our committees, but get whatever answers or information that we are requiring from him and the staff. Okay, so I would move quickly on to our consent agenda. So materials were sent to you by Mr. Hill of the our board retreat meeting minutes back in June, development committee minutes and reports, finance committee minutes and report, the TNTP proposal, our revised FY21 school calendar, and we did present policies. Some were new and some were revised for you, for the board to review and for us to adopt today. So I would entertain a motion to accept our consent agenda items as proposed by the materials sent by Mr. Hill. Do I have a motion from anyone?
Yes, Kristen, so moved.
And I will be happy to second, but I also wonder, since this is our first time on Zoom, if we need to create some norms other on, are we recording our votes in the chat, or are we only doing voice votes? And do we need to put a finger up if we want just to raise a question? How should we handle ourselves on this Zoom recording?
Mr. Hill, what do you suggest based on the record that you're keeping?
Sure. So, Ron, your voice is being recorded, and so a voice vote is perfectly fine. If you have something that you want more information on, you want the board chair's opinion, if you could just raise a finger, and we'll make sure we acknowledge you as soon as there's a break in speech. Does that work for you?
Sounds good. Yeah, I just want to make sure we're normed.
I can also suggest
from other experiences I've been having with online and the voice votes that sometimes it's easier to ask for any opposed rather than it is to ask for any in favor. So you can record those.
Okay. And if anyone is opposed, we will ask them to identify themselves. I am not seeing everybody's picture at the same time. I don't know if there's a way to do that. So if somebody raises a finger, I may not see it. So, Will, if you see it, and I am moving along without acknowledging that board member, could you interject, please?
Will do.
Right. Okay. So with that, I second the motion on the motion which was made.
On the consent agenda. Do we have any discussion at all? And just so that you know that the executive committee, which at this time was is Chuck, Mitchell, Kristen, and myself, we had a committee meeting last week, and we vetted those policies, those proposed policies, and found them to be in order. So just to give you all some reassurances that we did look at it. So all in favor, please indicate by saying aye. Any opposed, please indicate. Any opposed, please indicate by saying nay. Hearing none, motion carries unanimously. Moving on to the action agenda. And Chalk, I sent you a text so that this wouldn't feel awkward, but we are going to have a vote to re-elect you to the board. So at this time, if you could jump off, and then I'll text you real quickly when to jump back on. It should just be a couple minutes.
Leaving.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Hill, is he off?
Yes, Chalk is off.
Okay, because I'm not seeing everybody. Okay, so just for full disclosure, I just wanted to remind everybody that we would need to acknowledge that Chalk's commitment, you know, with Chalk's commitment to Cape Delta board and our community, that we would be making a special exemption concerning his board service and allowing ourselves to vote for his continued service to take place without a break in his service. Does everybody understand what we would be voting on when we vote him back in? We would be more or less having a special exception to him being voted back on the board. So hearing no questions, I will entertain a motion to re-elect Chalk Mitchell back onto the Cape Delta Public School Board.
I would make a motion to make the exception to vote him back on, and I say that because, number one, he has served well and obviously for a long time. I think we need diversity. And I think we need the representation for Helena. I think what it could also force us to do is to make sure that we are thinking about additional board members and diversity of the board on all elements. But I think he is a very valuable leader from the Helena community. And until we've built up some other voices from that community to be on the board, then we need him to remain on until such time as we've built the board we think we need.
Well said. Do I have a second? Robin, is that you?
Robin, yes, Robin's muted, but she held up her finger.
Okay. Thank you for that second, Robin. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed, please indicate by saying nay. Hearing none, motion carries unanimously. So let me text Chalk real quickly and have him come back on.
Ron, I agree. Yes, because, you know, Kathy is no longer on the board either from Helena. So, yes, I do. I totally agree that we need that face
mm-hmm.
down there. Yes.
Okay, we'll give him a bit to come back on.
Hopefully he was able to have the rest of his lunch.
Yeah, I'm letting him in now, so he's back.
Okay. Hi, Chalk, are you on?
He's connecting. Not connected yet. Maybe now. His picture's not back up yet on video. Now it is.
Okay. Welcome back, Chalk. Hey, Chalk. Hi. Yeah. I would like to congratulate you back onto the Cape Delta Public School Board. We just couldn't do without you.
Thank you.
We hope, right. We hope that's good news, Chalk.
It is. It is. I miss all you guys.
Thank you. Okay, so moving along real quickly, we are on our annual conflict of interest disclosure and our FY21 philanthropic commitment forms, so those were sent out. And I believe our executive director is keeping score, so he would give us an update as we move along, but try to get those forms in. Thank you for those who have submitted those forms already, but we really want to try to close that out and get that off our agenda for any future meetings. So print those off, send them back in, and remember with the philanthropic commitment forms that is just a commitment, right? We understand the what's going on right now, and the intention may not line up to what actually happens, but we really want you to go ahead and still fill out that commitment form. Our community eligibility provision, Mr. Hill, do you want to speak on that?
Sure. I'll talk a little bit about it and then ask Raven to chime in here as well. So essentially what this is about child nutrition. And so we've reached the tipping point in our district where we're not only majority poverty in rural, but I think we're over the 90% mark at that point. So rather than counting essentially every child, it allows us to feed everyone and to treat every child as if they are essentially impoverished. Raven, would you add anything to what I said?
No, I want, that's true. And it's, and every year we have to just present it to the board to just make sure that we want to continue to do the CEP.
So do you need a vote, Raven, or this is just a FYI and to get feedback from us, or do we need to vote on anything?
We need to vote.
I believe we need to vote.
Okay. And I'm going back. I'm sorry for the annual conflict of interest. Do we need to vote on that as well? Or was that just to inform the board?
That was to inform the board and to establish a deadline for when it's in. But we don't have to vote on that.
Okay. So what is a good deadline for you, Mr. Hill?
If we could say by August 15th.
Okay. So about a week before August 15th, could you give us an update on where we are on that?
Sure.
So that everybody could meet that deadline of August 15th for the conflict of interest and the philanthropic commitment form. So with respect to the community eligibility provision, can I get I would entertain a motion for us to continue in that eligibility program. Is that how I phrase it, Robin, Raven? I want to make sure I'm phrasing it properly.
Yes.
Okay. So I would entertain a motion.
EPE?
No. This is just the child nutrition every year.
Yes.
Yeah, we apply for this and we participate in that program.
Yes.
So I would, are you making that motion, Robin, for us to continue with that program?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Okay. Chalk Mitchell.
Thank you, Chalk. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
And I'm just noting that I'm not opposed.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Welcome. So I'll continue with the vote. Any opposed, please indicate by saying nay. Hearing none, passes unanimously.
And I believe that this is the highest percentage we've ever had with KIPP enrollment, which is very exciting that we're able to do that.
Thank you, Ron. So, Lisa, you asked me a question previously, and accepting Tequila and Vince's conflict of interest, we do need a vote for those two items.
Okay. All right. So we'll go back to that, and I would entertain a motion to accept Dr. Brownie's and Mr. Billings' conflict of interest, and those were in the packet as well.
So moved.
Second.
Who moved? I'm sorry, I didn't.
That was Darren.
Hi, Darren. Thank you. And Robin, you second? Thank you.
Yeah.
Any discussion? All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, please indicate by saying nay. Hearing none, motion carries unanimously. Okay.
Should we have recused ourselves?
Yes, you probably should have. Yeah. Yes.
Sorry.
So we would note those votes as everybody unanimously minus Dr. Brownie and Mr. Billingsley.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Then that begs the question, if they're recusing themselves on their own vote, did we have a quorum since we combined the two together? I think we do, but...
We do.
Okay, just wanted to double check.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that question, Ron. Make sure we keep ourselves accountable. Moving on to the next on the agenda is the resignation of Randy Zook. I believe a communication was sent out by our executive director informing of Randy's decision. Just know that Randy did speak to me a couple months ago about stepping down, and I asked him if he could stay on a little bit until our executive director was hired and sort of up and going a little bit. And he just has a lot on his plate right now. And I think Mr. Hill identified some concerns he had. So I would entertain a motion to accept the resignation of Randy Zook from off our board of directors.
So if we were to choose not to accept his resignation, does that mean he has to stay on?
No. I don't think it works that way.
Okay, but, just double check it.
So I would...
I regretfully move that we accept his resignation from the board.
Yes, it is.
And acknowledge that he has been a great service and a great leader. Yes. Through much of our growth and excellence, and then also helping greatly as enrollment fluctuated and troubles of all sorts raised their heads.
Yes. Do I have a second? A regrettable second?
A second.
Okay. Thank you. Any discussion? And Ron, I did all your comments, and just know that, you know, I did talk to Randy, and he is still a hipster, and he's there for us in whatever capacity he can lend support. So it's not that he's totally out of Kip's life or out of our lives, but just off the board. All right, so all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed, please indicate by saying nay. Hearing none, motion carries unanimously. And I will turn it over now to, Mr. Hill, you had a question?
Yes, I just wanted the board members to know that you all sent a token of your appreciation to Randy that he will be receiving any day now, acknowledging his excellent service and tenure on the board.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And I will now hand it over to Raven, I believe, between Raven and Mr. Hill to present the preliminary budget for FY21.
Sure. Thank you, Lisa. Raven, if you want to move forward.
Can I share my screen?
Yes.
Just show the PowerPoint. Okay. Oh, it says host disabled.
Yep, I just gave you permission.
Okay, let me try again. Okay. Can everybody see my screen?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I'll be going over the FY20 pre-close and the preliminary budget that was reviewed by Mr. Will, Valerie, and the Finance Committee. Okay. So I will focus on this PowerPoint. We did have a lot of different attachments like memo and a few other documents. And so the PowerPoint summarizes it, but if we need to go back and dig a little deeper, then we can. So just feel free to let me know. So far it looks like we're projecting to end FY20 with a minimum of 69 days of cash. So our cash carryover will be approximately $1.57 million and $2.9 million in federal funds will be added back to our FY21 federal allocation. And just a reminder that $1.6 million of that is the ESSER funds that we received for the CARES Act. And these numbers are preliminary. We're working now to do a final close for the year. So we'll have more accurate FY20 numbers at the next board meeting. So with that being said, our projected ending cash will be around $5 million with the 92 days of cash. After you take out the estimated carryover, we'll end the year $1 million, which gives us the 69 days of cash.
Good.
That is tremendous.
Very good.
So for the cash carryover, this just breaks down like what's in that $1.5 million. I'll just point out that we have that new position of budget and grant manager, and she worked on researching to figure out how we can spend down some of these state funds that we've just been carrying over year after year. So we're working on that so that we can use up a lot of this restricted funding. And so, of course, this is what we have, like, cash on hand, what we actually have in our hands. And then the unused spending authority is our federal grants. And so we have the waiver, of course, that the state allowed us to carry over more than what's required due to COVID. I will note that, and I'll say this a few times, that waiver will not be extended for FY21. So a lot of these we need to spend down, so you will see an increase in our expenses, but it's so we can spend down these restricted funds, so we won't use it. And then the ESSER funds is the last line item, and those must be spent by 2022. So we have an extra year to spend down those ESSER funds. This is just a quick timeline to just go over what it looks like for FY21 budget. So this meeting today, we'll be seeking approval for the preliminary budget that we would use as our starting point for FY21. We'll continue to make revisions and try to narrow down the budget as accurate as possible. After the end of August, we'll have our final ending cash projections. We'll have our updated, you know, revenue from the state. And then in October, we will present a revised operating capital budget along with a 3-year financial model. So some highlights, just a reminder that as of FY21, our funding is now based on prior year ADM. So our ADM from FY20 was 1272, including pre-K. Then without pre-K, it was 1221. So in October, when we present projections for the future years, we'll really talk about enrollment ADM for FY21 and the future years because that'll impact FY22's budget. The State Foundation funding per pupil rate increased by 2%. ESA, which was formerly NSL, and facilities funding per pupil remained the same for FY20. Our federal funding, we still have it based off of a 5% decrease until we get preliminary allocations, and they actually just released it not too long ago, so we'll have more accurate numbers for our federal funding. Our fundraising goals, we'll mention a good point here. So it's still $1.5 million, but we increased KTC funding by $300,000, so it made the fundraising goal $1.83 million. And that includes KTC until we get a more accurate number for that. We also received Arkansas Comprehensive Literacy Development Grant for $65,000, which increased our state funds, and it'll be used for reading, so like the RISE PD and a few more things that Amy's team worked on. And we also received $88,000 from the KIPP Foundation to meet the one-to-one technology goal for students. And then once again, the waivers, I just like to stress that that we only have it for FY20. So for FY21, we really need to spend down those restricted funds that we'll talk about shortly.
Raven, sorry, would you give clarification on that first bullet point, the difference of K-12 versus pre-K funding? I can't remember in Arkansas. Is it a different bucket of money that pays for pre-K through the beer
yes,
tax?
Centrally, yes. And it doesn't, pre-K numbers doesn't impact our funding for K-12.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. This is just the overview of our revenue estimates. So the CSLD grant that we mentioned is up here in the state. And then the one-to-one technology grant that we received is in Above and Beyond. And also in this Above and Beyond is the DCAN cross-county revenue that we get for KTC. And then, of course, our prior year carryover will change once we finalize FY20. A few highlights here. We have 267 FTEs budgeted, which is roughly $15.4 million in salaries and benefits. 33.7 FTEs are vacant or pending, which equates to 7% of total expenses. I will note that Will did mention that he wants to look at the staffing structure to see, you know, what our org chart looks like. So this may adjust depending on what comes of that.
How many of those 33.7 are licensed FTEs, professional staff versus non-professional staff? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I can get you that number.
Okay, just curious.
Most of these vacancies, I believe, though, are academic, I'm pretty sure, but okay. I'll look to be sure.
And a lot of those have been filled as well, Ron, so that number isn't as accurate in the last
year. It's evolving. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, if there were 30 empty teaching spots, that would make me worried is where I was going with my question behind the question.
Raven, that 267 does include that 33.7?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
It's overall total.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Most of our expense assumptions are based on prior year averages, but I wanted to point out a few ones that really stands out. So the intern stipends and TFA cash flow line includes $100,000 for essential stipends for the first semester. And so essentially it will be for the employees that we're asking to, you know, come to campus like teachers, whether it's two times a week or four times a week, giving them an incentive. For library books and supplemental instructional materials, that increase for virtual learning, experience-based field lessons, coming up with ideas. I'm sure Amy's team is working on to try to make up from last year because we do use ESA funds for our field lessons. Parental involvement to make up from last year. Nursing and wellness increase for the PPE equipment that we need due to COVID. Maintenance increase slightly to complete some facility projects that we need that Valerie's team been prioritizing. And then all other assets under $1,000 is technology for students. So where you see the orange asterisk, we're using those restricted funds. So title funds, ESSER, and our ESA funds. Debt service did decrease due to the Charter School Growth Foundation deferring our FY21 payment to FY22. But I believe and will agree that if the PPP loan is forgiven, that we should go ahead and make that principal payment in FY21. And then on the rainy day line, I inserted $364,000 to pay back the PPP loan if it's not forgiven. You're just, you know, just put it out there. Let's see what it looks like if you do have to pay it back. And it's based on a 5-year repayment plan instead of 2 years. And then I did reach out.
That is interest-free, right, Raven? It is interest-free.
1% interest.
1%.
Mm-hmm. And I did reach out to our bank contact about the forgiveness. I'm sure she's tired of hearing from me. But she said that she will let me know, like, when they start that process. One, because, you know, they extended the cover period and things are just changing. So I'm still checking in, but just letting you all know that I have been trying to stay on top of that.
Hey, guys, this is Darren. On that PPP loan, so Raven's right. She's been talking to Wendy, but Congress, right now there's legislation pending or been introduced in Congress to greatly simplify the forgiveness process. And because it was extended from 8 weeks to 24 weeks, we can't accept loan forgiveness right now because one of the things currently required to do is certify that you didn't reduce salaries in that 24-week period. That 24-week period hadn't run yet, so there's no reason or need to try to worry about forgiveness. Nothing's happened to indicate that this loan wouldn't fully be forgiven. For loans that are right now in current proposal, loans that are less than $2 million, they're looking for a simplified process. And remember, ours actually initially exceeded $2 million, and then we paid apportionment back. But I think we're still going to be treated as if we exceeded $2 million. So, unfortunately, I'm not sure if the simplified forgiveness is going to apply to KIPP. But rest assured, nothing. We're not in any danger because Congress is really working through trying to find ways to simplify the process, particularly the very, very small loans, like $150,000 and less. But Southern will not let KIPP miss any deadlines either.
Thank you, Darren.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. So the overview of expenses, as far as total staffing expenses, I just wanted to point out that we had some vacant FY20 positions, high level, like the KDC director, the managing director of regional operations, that we did not hire in FY20, but we are hiring in FY21, and like the child nutrition director, so that comes into play with that increase. The total student services increasing, you know, due to us wanting to spend down that restricted funding. Total departments increased slightly, just due to COVID needs that we need as far as custodial services. Total operating professional, standard at 13%, mainly because of those maintenance facility projects. And then, of course, the debt and service decrease because not only are we not paying that charter school growth money, but we also not paying back any of the PPP loan because we did pay $315,000 in FY20. This is just a summary of what we just discussed with the revenue and expenses to give us a net income of zero. The goal is to either be zero or net income, not loss. So we're going to work hard to make sure that we meet that requirement. And our estimated cash flow for FY20 is projecting to be at 34 days of cash. My internal goal is to get to 40 to try to increase year over year. This next slide I will show you will just show how the savings we received from getting the PPP loan really made FY20 look significantly different than prior years, but I also wanted to show that FY21 projected ending cash is still a little higher than FY19 if we were to just not consider FY20. And that's about all that I have. Our next steps, of course, would be to seek board's approval for this preliminary budget so we can complete the state cycle reporting. By September, our revenue projections will be updated with, you know, final fundraising assumptions, preliminary allocations, and the final FY20 carryover. My team will work with budget owners to develop spending plans to make sure that we spend down all of that restricted funding. And we will update the FY22 to FY24 projections based on current assumptions. And that will be presented with the revised FY21 budget. Now, on the memo, I did mention the minimum teacher salary is increasing in the future years, and KIPP still wants to be competitive, so that's something that we'll be looking at as well. So more than likely, we will have to adjust that teacher starting salary schedule in the near future.
Would you remind us what starting teacher salary is for this current year?
The state minimum for bachelor's is $33,800, and our minimum is $36,246.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And just as an FYI,
any questions? Say it again.
Just as an FYI for the board, the goal is for us to remain at least $2,500 over the state minimum. We are more attractive than our local counterparts.
Okay. And where does Helena, which is obviously the closest, get, or what is Blytheville's current teacher salary? Do we have that? I know we could look at it probably somewhere on their websites, but I didn't know if anybody just happened to have that off the top of their head, where either of those two districts lay as compared to KIPP.
Our salary structure is higher than theirs, but when you look at the breakdown of how their teachers are paid, it's hard to follow any kind of logic being used. So I'll give you a prime example. You may see a teacher with a bachelor's degree and 25 years of experience, and she has a salary of $39,000. And then you will see a bachelor's degree with 10 years, and that person has a salary of $45,000. So we can kind of see the range of salaries, but exactly the rationale that they're using to justify the variance in salary is hard to discern from just looking at their pay schedule and what they're actually paying their employees. Is that helpful, Ron?
Yeah. Again, I was just wondering, for starting teacher salary, you know, are we still running higher than the Helena, West Helena, and or Blytheville traditional school districts?
In Blytheville, I know for a fact we are. Amy, do you have that number?
We are under for first-year teachers in Helena. I think we are about the same in Blytheville. We're about $500 less than Helena, West Helena. The Blytheville number I don't know by heart, but I can find out pretty quickly.
I was thinking Helena had gotten, they'd gotten to a place where they were raising it up, you know, almost equal to, if not slightly greater than. Okay, great.
Yeah, and it's only true up to, like, year two that they pay more than us, and then we go pretty fast. For bachelor's only. At the master's level, we compensate a little bit higher at the beginning.
Got it. Thank you.
Hey, are there any more questions for Raven? If not, are there any more questions just generally for our executive director? I guess one of the questions I'd like to probably just get a quick update, because we are a little ahead of schedule.
I do have one quick question for Raven.
Yes.
Raven, so if ultimately we get to the place where that federal windfall money does not have to be repaid, and that's 300, whatever it was, $352,000, that's saved back, does not have to be paid, would that be put into the part of the bucket of money that you're looking to increase from 30 however many days?
The cash, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So that would be part of that track for the money if we don't have to repay it on loan. Got it.
Right. That's great. Will, could you give us a quick update on where we are with school starting?
Yeah, so as you all know, we've been mandated by the governor to open schools in person. And so what we are doing is the start of school is August 24th. And we've proposed essentially three models for our families based on the survey data that we've received back from both communities, Blytheville and Helena. And so essentially, if you are, everyone starts school on August 24th, our pre-K through second grade students will begin school in person. We are physically distancing the classrooms as much as possible, basically about 4 feet. We're capping classroom size at 15 students. We are doing all the environmental checks, so temperature checks before people enter the room, all of those safety procedures. We also have a virtual option for all families, K through 12. And instead of forcing families to remain virtual for the full year, every 9 weeks, they actually have an option to transition over from virtual to rejoin their kids in class. Our students grades 3 through 12 will have a blended option. So they will begin school virtually as well on August 24th. And then on October 12th, they will begin school in person. And so if you're, and they'll be assigned to either an A group or a B group. And they will essentially attend school 2 days a week in person, 2 days a week virtually. And then on Fridays would be their independent study, asynchronous learning day.
Does anybody have any questions on that?
Sorry, on the independent.
Go ahead.
I'm picking up too much air time.
On the virtual option, is that going to be through Virtual Arkansas or some kind of consolidated virtual network, or will that be direct instruction from KIT?
So it's a combination, actually, and I'll let Amy speak to the detail on that.
Justin, all of our elementary curriculum is available online, and so they will use Google Classroom with the existing elementary curriculum. At high school, depending on teacher experience and quality of curriculum that's available online, we'll use partially Virtual Arkansas and then partially our curriculum that's virtually available to our teachers and our students. So it's about 50-50 at high school.
Your teachers will be teaching the virtual classes?
They will be teaching the ones that are not created by Virtual Arkansas. The ones that are created by Virtual Arkansas, they'll serve in a kind of tutoring, mentoring capacity around the content. So, for example, we have very novice math and science teachers at our high schools. They will be using Virtual Arkansas and then do one-on-one or small group tutoring through Zoom using the curriculum created by Virtual Arkansas.
Okay, for those that are not Virtual Arkansas, will the teachers have to do a separate online recording or Zoom call, or will the classroom be recorded? And I'm wondering, is there extra work on the teachers to have to be able to manage the virtual school? And how do we deal with that?
Yep. So our plan is everyone's starting virtually, so they are having to lesson plan and make sure content from our curricula is sequenced in the right way on Canvas, which is our platform for middle and high school. When we switch to hybrid, we are anticipating that some of our staff will have accommodations under the through HR, and so we will create a virtual school where those teachers will only teach virtually, and then we would have our teachers who don't require accommodations be in person only, so that there's the hope that no one will have to do double the work. We think our numbers will work out that way, but we don't have all of our student selections in yet. They are due by Saturday, and we're about 75% of the way done, and HR is still working through the process of accommodations for staff who have either disabilities or chronic illnesses.
So when you say accommodation, that would be for people that are in high-risk, vulnerable populations and don't want to be in the classroom?
Yes.
Is that including special education in and of itself, or will all special education
kids be on in classroom?
That is a great question. The state has offered some guidance that we are asking for some help on. Our intent was to bring back as many special education students as we could. There are some restrictions around FERPA and some other things that we're working through. So we will bring back all of our self-contained students, we believe, but IEP teams will have to convene and say that it's in the student's best interest before we can say which students will be allowed back in the building. We anticipate, based on both what we know about our IEP committees and our parents, that our self-contained kids with severe and profound disabilities will likely return to our buildings first. And then based on needs and data from last year in consultation with the IEP committees, may bring other students back.
And Ron, okay. the purpose for the IEP meetings is to show that we're not being biased or discriminatory and just having only the special ed kids return.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, maybe I just didn't listen close enough to hear this, but are our grades 7 through 12, are they coming back to school at all?
3 through 12 will. They are blended.
Okay, all right, I remember that now. Okay, I guess my second question to all of this is, do we just not have the staff, or do we just have enough of them that don't want to come back? And the only reason I'm asking this is because Oblable, Armorell, those kids are going to school all day long. 5 days, I mean, you know, 4 days a week.
Yeah, it's a combination, Robin, of both staffing. We have a lot of staff that are high risk.
Okay.
Concerns. We also have a lot of staff that are highly afraid, to be perfectly honest with you. And our parent mix is different as well. We have a number of parents who are afraid to bring their kids back. So what we're doing is we're trying to split the difference where we're accommodating our high-risk staff members and responding to the needs of our community at the same time. And it's a delicate balance, but that's what we're attempting to do.
Is there a possibility that we are looking at maybe something different after the first of the year?
Yes, so this is fluid.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not locked into any one thing. The only thing that I can tell you will be available for the entire year is the virtual option, because we know we have a number of parents who want that. But, you know, from your mouth to God's ears, if we end up with a vaccine, if things change, we could all be back at the beginning of the year. So we will adjust as the state adjusts and as the conditions on the ground change.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I think the only thing, so I won't forget, the board has to approve the preliminary budget.
Yes. Did we lose Lisa? I don't see her anymore.
I see her name.
I bet she stepped away for a second.
Gotcha. Okay. We would just need to pause until she returns.
So, Will, do you have by any chance a breakdown as to how many we think are going to be virtual and how many might be in-house?
Yes, we do. So, as Amy said, we're about 75% through confirming our enrollment. And, Amy, you want to give the exact breakdown of what those numbers are?
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up. They're actively calling right now, so every time I look at it, it changes. But if you'll give me a minute, I can give you a rough estimate.
Listen, I'm sure it is, because I have had several, several people, especially with this K through 2 mm-hmm. age group, that are very interested in sending their kids to KIPP.
Yeah.
I'm sure your numbers are changing hourly, you know?
When we did the initial kind of survey, we were breaking out to like a third, third, and a third, but that's changed now. So, yeah, it really is a moving number.
yesterday where we were, it was about 40% of our K-2 kids would come back in person. And then families were already selecting that they would prefer to be virtual at the higher grades for much longer. We were seeing trending at like 75-80% for grades 3 through 12. I think it might end up being a little bit lower than that and a little bit higher at K-2. But those numbers have been pretty steady and are looking, are still...
I'm shocked at that many. I didn't realize, I didn't think it would be that high. I really did not.
It's 65% right now are preferring at K-2 full-time virtual. And then it is 60% for grades 3 through 12. But we're only about 75% of the way, and we've gotten the people who are easiest to get first. So folks who entered the survey themselves online or folks who read an email. So I anticipate it will move down a little bit, and we'll have more in person once we get every family.
Yeah. Thank you, Amy. And Lisa is with us online. I mean, is on with us via telephone. She's having some internet connectivity issues at home. Lisa, can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was on mute. So we need to go back to, I missed this, but we need to go back to set the FY21 preliminary budget presentation.
I think your computer may still be connected somehow.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me now?
Now we got you clear.
Okay, yeah. So I would need a motion to accept the FY21 preliminary budget as presented.
This is Darren. So moved.
Ron, I'll second.
Okay. Ron, did you second?
I did.
I'm just going to go ahead and keep the meeting. It keeps coming. My Zoom keeps coming back on and off. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, please indicate by saying nay. Okay, motion carries unanimously. Okay, we do not have anything to go into executive session about unless somebody has something that we need to. Does anybody have anything?
No, I don't have anything on for executive, but I am curious again a bit more about the, if there's time, if people want to stay, just hearing a little bit more about the reopening in person and what that means for students, for teachers, who are back, whether it's masks, are there the face shields? Where are we on all of that? And obviously if there's the A, B, I'm guessing the people are staying basically in the same classroom all day. Everything's getting wiped down at end of day transitions. There are plans in place. All those sorts of things. And then on the Friday, and I'm sorry, I forgot how you referred to it, Will, but is that everybody's at home or is there the option of coming and working from school if families needed that?
Sure. Great questions, Ron. Lisa, if you want to wrap up the board meeting and then I can hang back with whoever wants to stay on and ask any additional questions.
Yes, that sounds good because I know a couple of people, they have a hard stop at 3. So I'll go ahead and we will, our ED will be online for anybody who has more questions on school opening. Does anybody have anything else that they need to ask or comment on?
No.
Okay, so hearing nothing, I formally close out our meeting. So you guys, again, thank you for your time, and you will get the minutes coming your way sometime in the near future. So have a good day, and again, anybody who wants to stay on to hear more about school opening, can. For everybody else, have a great rest of the day and be safe. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.